And welcome to part two of our discussion, Noye Ha'ir, the issue of communal aesthetics. And last week, we introduced the topic. The sheets are over here. Last week, we introduced the topic with our Mishnah, which requires a tree-free zone around a city. And if there is a tree in the zone around the city, then the tree should be cut. And most, we said, think that the owner of the tree is the one who cuts it. However, the Rambam said, Kotzitzin, which sounds like the city or the city and the owner. We'll have to talk about that, God willing, later. We then gave an introductory piece about the Migrash. We said the Torah requires a Migrash zone around certain cities. It was unclear whether the purpose of that Migrash is for beauty of the city, or whether there's a practical benefit that contributes to yishuv, that contributes to the ability of people to live in the city. I wanted to note for you, on the sheet I brought you the top two sources. I didn't have them last week. They're worth noting. Number one, I mentioned the Mishnah Lamelech last week, but I skipped a key piece of it that was in my notes about the position of the Mishnah Lamelech. What I was trying to say, and what my notes are trying to say, but I was going too fast to read my notes, is that the Mishnah Lamelech says it's practical, it's about Yishuv, but he's probably including Noi in Yishuv. That's what it's actually based on the sheet. But if you look at what he does, he says, V'hada lo tanina chaluka zu perakama de kelim, he says, the fact that we don't mention this issue of walled cities having a migrash, or Ari Levium, whichever ones, having a migrash, and other cities don't, we didn't list that in the 10 Kiddushos in the Mishnah in Kalim. He says, that is Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's because it's not about Kiddusha. It's not about the holiness of the cities. This is what I did mention last week. It's not about holiness of the cities. It's about settling Eretz Yisrael. But if you look further along in the Mishnah Lamelech, he says, Klalo Shel Davar. Rabbi Lazar lo chayesh lenoi bishar Ari Yisrael, meaning non-Arei Leviim. Rabbi Elazar is not concerned about Noi, Ela LeYishuv. He's only concerned about Yishuv. And my point in this is that the Mishnah LeMelech distinguishes between Noi and Yishuv there. However, when it comes to Migrash as a whole, he seems to use Yishuv to include even Noi. I'm not saying it so well. You'd have to go back into the Mishnah LeMelech to really see that fully. But my point is that the Mishnah LeMelech is actually, I think, a blender of Yishuv and Noi, and it's an intuitive blend. Because it makes sense to say that concern for people wanting to live in the city is not only is there practical access, but it's also, are people going to want to live there? When you look at that, is that a place you want to live? So I think there's a lot to be said for the Mishnah LeMelech. The other piece that I wanted to show you that I didn't mention last week is the Perush Mishnayos of the Rambam in Source Aleph. I flat out had missed it. The Rambam commenting on the Mishnah in Kalim actually gives us a different take altogether, and this fits with some of what Reb Chaim brought from his article, on the Migrash. Look at what he says. I have no way to justify this Perush Mishnayos in light of, you know, Psukim, but if it's the Rambam versus Chumash, you know, I don't know. Take a look at Source Aleph. He says, Umigrash, Heim ha-yishuvim ha-krovim la'ir. Vehem hayiduim etzlenu b'shem shchunot hachitzoniyot shebehem darim haroim v'hapalachim. He says, Migrash actually refers to communities that are outside of the wall of the city, and this is where the shepherds live, and this is where the workers live. The pasuk says, lebehem tam, lechusham, lechol chayatam. Sorry? Tosfos Yom Tov doesn't have an alternate girsa in the Rambam. I don't understand. But it's there.
What is the palachim?
Palachim, I believe, is workers. Like, Pelam and Chet is to work. That was my understanding.
Because maybe when you say Ro'im, like that's like what we saw for the behemoth to be out there. Maybe when he says Darim, it's not where they live, but it's where
He calls them Shchunot. You know, it really.
There's
what they call it. Yeah, also, Rabbi Yaris points out, it says Darim.
Yeah, Darim can be...
I mean, keep in mind, you know, I think a lot of you probably already know this, but for those who are not familiar, shepherding was not, you take the animals out in the morning and then you bring them back in the evening. The animals were grazing out there for months. you know, in and you had to have people who were actually living, you know, out there. So yeah, this is I find this difficult, but what again? What am I going to do? At least you have to mention it, even if you don't understand it. In terms of which cities have the Migrash, so we said last time the Torah only mentions it for Arei Leviim, and that was the position it seemed of Rabbi Elazar. Then you have the Rabbi Eliezer, I should say. Then you have Rashi, who says it's Arei Leviim plus walled cities, even though we said Levi cities don't have walls. Then you had the Tanakama in our Gemara and the Gemara Erechin, as well as the Rambam's position, which is that it's all Israeli cities that are going to have a Migrash. And finally, the Yad Ramah, who's going to say even Chutz La'aretz gets a Migrash. It doesn't matter. Okay. So that's recap of last week. This week, what we're going to start with is just reading the Gemara, and we're going to do it with Ramban. Ramban is the most basic read of the Gemara before we see some nuances in how to read this, and this will give us a better understanding along the way, hopefully, of what this whole communal aesthetics idea is and the impact that it has on the way that we live in our cities. Ultimately, in the end, I want to talk a little bit, if we get there, about just communal spending on this sort of thing, and like the idea that the community has this as an imperative for its budget. So, the issue that we mentioned right at the outset of the Gemara, and you already know because you've seen it, is that Ula says, why is it that we have to keep the trees away from the city? Mishum no yei ha'ir, which we translate generally as the aesthetics of the city, the beauty of the city. He doesn't explain anything about why that's more pleasing. He doesn't give us anything to work with. If you look at the Yerushalmi, you may have something to work with. If you take a look at Source Gimel, the Gemara says, commenting on the Mishnah about distancing the trees, Mishum sha'omid u'ma'afil? Oh, mishum sha'ne'o ra. Either because it casts shadows, it blocks the light, whether it's casting shadows or just physically blocking light, either way, that's the same thing. Or sha'ne'o ra. So when I read ne'o ra originally, my inclination was to say that's the aesthetics issue, right? It's not na'e. I will note for you, first of all, what Idan surfaced, Idan and Rav Jared, from the Guggenheimer translation of the Yerushalmi, which I didn't know was a thing, but apparently it's on Google Books, and so I gave you in Source Dalet the link for those who want to look it up. He brings the idea that it means the falling leaves are bad, which is funny, but think about it. We have a term that we use, kicho veneo, right? You talk about a person having phlegm and mucus and whatever, that's called kicho veneo. So it's like stuff that falls. I don't know, dripping or something like that. So the idea that the falling leaves are bad, I would view that as not... Sorry? Oh, you know what? Is it with an I in Taka? It could be. Could be. You have to look it up. It could be with an I. It just occurred to me offhand. I didn't look it up. Could be... I don't know. Somebody who has a computer there wants to search whether Kicho Veneo is Ayin or Aleph. They can answer it for us. But that would seem not to be an aesthetic problem, right? It would seem to be more of a practical problem. As someone who rakes leaves, you know, and knows that people drive places to see falling leaves, like people like falling leaves. It seems like more of a practical problem. Aesthetically pleasing, but practically annoying. That would be my guess, but I can't say. Also, the Aruch HaShalem brings something, which I brought for you in Source Hay. He says, and this was in that Guggenheimer footnote, he referred to this. Ben Yehuda herich bo, u'makor hamila lo hechriya. Ben Yehuda, who yes indeed did work with my great uncle, on his dictionary and thesaurus and so on, but Ben Yehuda gets all the fame. So he went on at length trying to figure out what this word was. He didn't come up with a proper etymology for it. Va'ani omer yesh no be'aleph. So he says there is a word no with an aleph. The imkain pirusho hanio. What does that mean? Hovda shahi ilan omeid umeini es haavir. He says the tree blocks. In parentheses, he has the word kole, like kele. It blocks the airflow. Oh hamabat, or the view. Oh hahiluch min ha'ir, or travel. Rahu lamisha yoshe ba'ir. It's bad for those who sit in the city. So it's blocking something. And again, this sounds much more like its practicality than aesthetics.
Like in Hini machshavot goyim?
Yes. Yes, exactly like that. Asher Hini. Anybody find anything about Kichel v'Neya, whether it's an Aleph or an Ayin? Well, I mean, it exists. Just
it is in Hechos Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, Hechos Rosh Hashanah by the walnuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're not gonna spend time on this. The yeah, well, that's how they gave it to me. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I didn't know it existed. So
it's difficult to say that Neo in any case, is rock and Neo is negative in itself.
I think it's an Ayin.
You think so?
I mean,
if you, look, if that's
morphic Kicho Neo, spittle, mucus, phlegm.
Yeah. Ayin. Okay, with an Ayin. Okay, so then it's irrelevant. Okay, so in any case, taking the view that this is about aesthetics, right, which seems to match the Bavli's read, if not the Yerushalmi, who cares if you're damaging aesthetics, right? Why is that a thing? So we're going to see multiple approaches. First approach is that it's going to be Ramban, that it harms the environment of Eretz Yisrael. This is an environmentalist issue that we are concerned about in Eretz Yisrael. Second approach is going to be it harms functionality of cities, whether in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. Even calling it aesthetics doesn't matter. But it's an issue. Actually, the Yad Ramah, I shouldn't say that. The Yad Ramah is really taking more of a practical view than an aesthetic view, whether you want to say it's aesthetics that are practicalities or straight practicalities. And then finally, we're going to see the view of the Chasam Sofer reading Rav Kahana in the second part of our Gemara, who's going to argue that it's actually Nezek. And we'll have to see what that means when we call it Nezek. So let's see the Gemara itself. Take a look at source Vav. This is the first sugya in our Gemara. Mai Taimo, what's the reason for distancing trees from cities? Amar Ula Mishum No Ye Ha'ir. Ula says the point of this distance is No Ye Ha'ir. Which again, straight read, beauty of the city, notwithstanding the Yerushalmi possibility that it's a practicality which may be about aesthetics or not. That's the idea. Ramban comments on that, if you take a look at Sor Zion, Dimeikara Kasaka Daitach Mishum Hezeku, Vafilu Bachutzla Aretz. My initial view, until Ula comes along, is that the issue is Nezek. He doesn't define how it is Nezek. It is some form of harm. And it would apply anywhere, and now you're teaching me no, it's not, it's no yeho here. Just asking, what would you think would be nezek? What does that mean, nezek? What's the logic in saying it's nezek? So, we're gonna have to come up with an explanation, because that's not okay to just leave like that.
Okay, if it's too close, would it cause some kind of infrastructure damage?
Infrastructure damage, could be.
I've also seen
a military disadvantage. Fear that the enemy is going to invade and is going to attack, and the trees are going to block your view. Of course, it's also blocking their view of what's going on inside.
We know they're going to sneak up on you.
Well, that looks like that. Yes. Yeah. Okay. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. You know, different ways to view that. As a side note. I thought it was interesting in the Meiri on this Noye Ha'ir. If you take a look at source Ches, Amar HaMeiri, Shemarchikin es ha'ilan min ha'ir chamesh ve'esrim ama, you distance the trees 25 amas from the city, upershu b'gemara mishum Noye Ha'ir, v'hu sheginayhu le'ir kisherechava svivo seha peguma b'irvuv ilanot. He says, it's not nice for the city, it's a disgrace for the city, when the broad area outside the city is defective because there's a mixture of trees in it. And what I'm noticing in this Meiri is that it's not really about harm to the city, but rather it's not good for us to have an ugly space outside of the city. It's not about the beauty of the city, it's the beauty of the space outside the city. I thought that was an interesting thing. It didn't fit with the wording of Noye Ha'ir, except more broadly. In any case, the Gemara asks a question. Let's go back to the
Gemara. Just out of curiosity, are we talking any trees or non-fruit trees?
So if you go back to the Mishnah, which I didn't bring you on the sheet today, so that's not so helpful by saying go back to the Mishnah. But the Mishnah actually has the possibility that we would distinguish between fruit-bearing trees and non-fruit-bearing trees. As a matter of psak, I think we just say it's you know, all, was it all Ilanei Srak was what we ended up with from the Rambam? The I believe that I brought you on the sheet. I didn't go back and bring the Mishnah again, but I brought you the Rambam. Where did I bring it? It was Yud Halach. It was Shechinim Yud Aleph. Is that on the sheet?
I'll open up last week's sheet.
All right. If someone has last week's sheet, they can find it there. That's all right. But it was a whole discussion that we had about who the Rambam is paskening like in Abba Shaul and all of that. It's Hilchos Shechinim Yud Aleph, if anyone just wants to draw it.
Is this meant to include trees only on the border of the city or in the city too?
Only outside. That's actually a really good question. There are poskim that discuss this question of what about within the city, and the conclusion seems to be within the city is fine. It's only this external space.
He doesn't bring Amar. He doesn't mean the ear chafe ama.
Yeah.
So he doesn't distinguish.
Right. So it's all trees. It's all trees. He's following the Tanakhama in our Mishnah.
Except that I think that maybe it's Eretz Mishnah actually passed on Abba Shaul.
No, that was the whole discussion last week. He did not pass on like Abba Shaul. No, okay. Flat out no. That was the Tosafot Yom Tov's edition of the Rambam, and it is not the position of the Rambam. Okay. So, again. We've said that we're supposed to distance these trees 25 amos from the city. So the Gemara asks in source Vav, the tepuk lay de'ein osin sada migrash velo migrash sada. As Ramban reads this question, he has two different ways to read the question. Ramban first reads this question as a challenge to our Mishnah's 25 amma limit. In other words, how could you tell me 25 amos? It's 1,000 amos. Why are you telling me 25 amos? You have a migrash requirement. But then he says, obviously that can't be true. That can't be what we're asking. Because if that were true, then the answer in the Gemara would be, migrash is only a thing in Eretz Yisrael. And our mission is talking about outside of Eretz Yisrael, and our Gemara didn't give that answer. Right? If you take a look at source Tess, I brought you his first read. First read is, Lav adu ula makshi. The Gemara is not asking, ula, how could you say it's about beauty? Elamas nisa nami kashali. The mission itself is a problem. Vahava le meimer dafilu elef amayarchik. It should say, distance yourself even 1,000 amos. Ela orcha de talmuda lomar v'tepuklei. He's now getting into just the language of it and saying v'tepuklei versus other things, klomar afilu osin, etc. But then he says, utmihani, the part that I bulleted separately. He challenges this read. And he says, "V'le malei hasem beretz Yisrael." Then you could just answer, "That's only in Israel." Aval are Yisrael shebuchutz la aretz, but outside of Israel, osin migrash sada v'acham yishum no yehir lo avdinan. The only reason we don't hear is for the beauty of the city, and it's talking about outside Eretz Yisrael. Why don't I simply answer by saying 25 amos is outside of Israel, 1,000 amos is inside of Israel. So the Ramban therefore says, that's not how to understand the Gemara's question. And this is not just the Ramban, this is the Ram, this is the Mishnah Lamelech. They say, this is actually a challenge to Ula. If you're claiming that our Mishnah is about the beauty of the city, you're automatically limiting it to Eretz Yisrael. By definition. Because I don't care. I don't care about beauty outside of Israel. I don't want beauty outside of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you're telling me our mission is only Israel. And if it's only Israel, then I have a Migrash rule. That's the way Ramban says to read the question. Keep reading in Ramban. Lefichach ani omer shekach perusha. You can't skip the Ramban's wording on this. It's so beautiful. He says, I think this is the way to explain it. Originally, I thought it was about harm, some form of harm. What that harm is, we still haven't really defined. But then it's even outside. But once Ula says, no, it's about beauty, it's obvious this is only in Israel. He says, it doesn't make any sense for you to say, no, we don't want trees there. Let it all become so repellent that people say, I want to leave. That's what we're looking for. V'kevan shekein, tepuk, it's a new Nefesh B'Nefesh campaign. V'kevan shekein, tepuk le mishum she'ein osin migrash sadeh. The rule should be about 1,000 amos. That's what it should be. The aula makshin and v'lo aguva demasnis. And the question is a question to Ula. That's the way that he likes it. And he says, clearly Rashi believes that as well. Because later in the Gemara, we're gonna say, don't have them pay before they cut. Because if you have them pay before cutting down the tree, then the cutting of the tree will be delayed. And Rashi there is going to comment, Ein zu tiferes l'Eretz Yisrael. That won't be beautiful for Eretz Yisrael. So clearly, he says, Rashi supports the idea that this is Israel specific. And it's about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and it's not even about communal aesthetics as a narrow concept of what the residents want. It's, we want Eretz Yisrael to be beautiful. And indeed, almost everybody assumes that this is an Israel-specific din. I brought you the Sma in Source Yud, where he says, Ube Gemara, Ube Tur, Ksiv, Hai Dina. In the Gemara, as well as in the Tur, they bring this law of, he's talking there about distancing a granary from a city. That's where the Sma makes his comment, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention this halacha. So on the law of distancing a granary from the city, he says, the tour and the Gemara mentioned this gabe harchakas ilan mehair juxtaposed with distancing trees. Va'machaber hishmit oso hadin. The Shulchan Aruch omitted this halacha mimnei she'enu knowing b'chutz la'aretz because it doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. It only applies inside of Eretz Yisrael. And the Shulchan Aruch generally gives short shrift to Israel specific halachos. Right? Try to learn all the halachos of Truman Meiser and so on in Shemitah out of Shulchan Aruch. You know, you can look. What is it? Shin Lamed Aleph. Yeah, good luck. He says, Shema Minalo, Amru Davar Zeh, Ella, I'm sorry, I just jumped back to Rashi. But he says, that's the halacha. So this is the way Ramban reads the initial Gemara's statement of Ula and the Gemara's question. Our question is, Ula is saying it's only in Eretz Yisrael, then why isn't it 1,000 amos for Migrash? And the Gemara gives two answers. Go back to the Gemara in source Vav. Lo tzricha l'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer. Damar osin sadeh migrash u'migrash sadeh. Hachamishum no yehoir lo abdina. And the first answer is, we're following the view of Rabbi Eliezer who says in the Gemara in Erechim Namagimel Amid Beis that you are allowed to convert a migrash into a field. Now, if you actually were to open up the Gemara in Erech and Namagimel Amid Beis, the Mishnah there and the Gemara, you would find two different editions of what Rabbi Eliezer said. I'm skipping that issue. Which is really too bad, because it's a fascinating discussion, but there's just no way to fit it in. But it's worth seeing. The Yad Ramah says, because of that alternate edition in his Shita, that's why we need the Gemara's next line. The Gemara's gonna bring us a second answer. It doesn't stop with that first answer. If you take a look, and back in the Gemara here, Ul Rabbanan Nami Da Amri Enos and Sadeh Migrash Lo Migrash Sadeh, within the view of the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Lazar and who say, no, you're not allowed to convert Migrash into field or field into Migrash, Hani Mili Zraim, that's specifically about plants. Aval Ilanos Abdinan, trees, you're allowed to plant trees into it according to the Rabbanan. Migrash is not violated by trees. And the only reason not to is because of noi. So the Gemara is giving us two reasons why this is not a consideration, why Migrash was not a consideration in our Mishnah. And then it says, by the way, how do you know there's a difference between Zrayim and Ilanos, plants and trees? And they quote you the classic Brisa in Erevin. We're not going into the whole Erevin discussion, but in Erevin we have a principle of Hukaf Ladira. If you have an area that has plants in it, and it is walled in, it is not considered to be Hukaf Ladira, surrounded, walled in, for the sake of living there. And that's really important. Then in Hilchos Erevin, Rashi writes in Erevin and Zayin Amud Beis Yuches and Manal, we discussed this when we did Erevin several years ago, however many years ago it was, that a walled in garden is a karmelis. It's not a rishus hayachid because people don't live in a walled in garden. That's the idea. And if you look at Yud Aleph, I gave you a link to my shir on Hekef Ladira and trees and plants. Sorry. Right, so there's a lot to discuss. If you go to that shiur there, you'll see I brought quite a bit on, you know, on this topic. It was a multi-shiur topic, but that's the one that really focused on this issue of gardens and trees. And I'm always perplexed when I see that an Erev includes stream that, has no use, you know, and this is a bigger Erev in discussion. But the point is, sugya number one in our Gemara, as Ramban reads it, our issue is beauty of Eretz Yisrael, and distancing only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And that's the way to read it. The Gemara then has a second sugya, and this is Rav Kahana taking over from Ula. So in the second sugya in our Gemara, why am I starting with Rashi? Oh, I know why. This sugya is going to assume that the city we are talking about is a community, not a privately held city. However, Rashi in the Bartanura seems to be problematic. If you take a look at Rashi in Yud Beis, this is Rashi on our Mishnah, when the Mishnah said, Kotzeitz v'nosein damim, cut down the tree and pay for it if the tree preceded the city. Right? If the tree was there before the city, so cut it down and just pay the owner of the tree. So who is doing this paying? Rashi says, Mi Shehair Shalo, the owner of the city. Well, that sounds like it's a private city, right? The one who owns the city. So a couple of answers. The Tosas Yom Tov's answer is that's not what Mishe'ir Shalom means. If you take a look at Source Gimel, he quotes you the Bartanura as well as Rashi. He says, Lo Shehair he shall yachid. That doesn't mean it's private property. Ela klomar kol mi sheyesh lo zechus ba'ir. It means anyone who has ownership within the city. Anyone who is a baal of this city in this city. And he says, Velishna de nosein shulashon yachid daiki. He says, that's what we mean. When we say nosein, you give, any individual within the city gives. Hang on just one second. That's the way the Tosis Yom Tov explains it. I just want to bring the Chasam Sofer also. The Chasam Sofer in Source Yadalid gives a different explanation. But Tzarech Lomar, afilu I baal ha'ir rotza lizok bin achasav. He says, no. Arguing within the view that this is about noi, it's the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, he says, even if it's a city owned by one person, and he says, I'm okay with accepting this tree there, it doesn't bother me. And all the people who live in the city answer to him. And if they don't like it, they can leave. They can move out. It's his city. Right? Dina de Malchus Adina. Mikomakom. Kaven de Tana be'eretz Yisrael koi. Since he's in Eretz Yisrael. Vahasa, he's talking about Eretz Yisrael. Vahasam haba hezeka dechol medinas Eretz Yisrael im yesh ba'ayahu she'enem neyosim. That's harmful to all of Israel if you have cities that aren't good-looking cities. V'lav kol kaminei dahai bal ha'ir leganos ulevazos ha'medina. It's not within your power to degrade Eretz Yisrael. How dare you? Says the Chasam Sofer. Says the Chasam Sofer, you are not allowed to degrade the Medina. And if you're going to say pay first, then they're never going to pay, and Velo Yiktza is not going to cut it down. You call Yisrael Nifsadin, then all Israel loses, and that's Kidra de Beishutfi. It's a part, you know, it's a partnership here. So the way the Chasam Sofer explains it is, even if it is a city owned by an individual, and other people are just renting from them or whatever it is, it's a company city. Doesn't make a difference. You don't have the right to be mochel. That's why he explains it. Daniel, you were going to say. So Daniel asks, would it be crazy to say that it's dochak to read Rashi the way the Tosfos Yom Tov does? I don't know. The problem the Tosfos Yom Tov is dealing with is that if it's really true that this is an individual's city, then why couldn't he be mochel? Why are you forcing him to pay for cutting down the tree? If it's a community, so I understand. There are some people who like it, there are some people who don't like it, and, you know, we're gonna force them to go along with those who don't like it. But if it's really privately held, then why not? Until you say the Chasam Sofer's answer, which is, well, you believe this is in Eretz Yisrael, it's not up to you. But I understand. The instinctive read is the reason why the Tosfos Yom Tov needs to say anything, right? If the instinctive read of Misha Ha'ir Shalom was anyone who owns property in the city, then the Tosafot Yom Tov wouldn't have bothered to say anything. So clearly you're right that it's not the instinctive read of Rashi. But I do think it's a legitimate read of it. Yeah. Okay. So that's just preface, is that this city, according to the Tosafot Yom Tov, is not a privately held city, because then the owner could forgive it, according to Chasam Sofer, is even if it is privately owned, which is the simple read of Rashi. Chaim, you look perplexed. Okay. So the so let's see the Gemara now. Source Tesvav. We said in the Mishnah, Ve'im ha'ir kadma kotzeitz ve'eino nosein damin. We said if the city was there before the tree, cut down the tree and don't pay for it. So the Gemara remembers the discussion we had regarding pits next to cities. And there we said that even if the pit preceded the tree, what did I say, pits and cities? Even if the pit preceded the tree that's beside it, you still pay for the tree. Right? Anybody remember why? Why do we pay for the tree if the pit was there first? Ho ho. We are not doing enough chazara. Why is it that you pay for the tree if the pit was there first? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Or Yishuv Ha'aretz. We didn't say Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We said Yishuv Ha'aretz. We said it was Yerushalmi. Said that the reason why you pay for the tree if the pit was there first is because it's Yishuv Ha'aretz. We think it's important to have trees. And then we had a whole discussion. Maybe pits are more important. Maybe trees are more important. Right? Remember this whole, that whole piece. So, it's always easier for the Magid Shir to quiz people because I prepared it. But if you take a look at the Gemara here, they ask, Maishna gabe bor diksani kotzeitz v'nosein damim, u maishna hacha diksani kotzeitz v'nosein damim. So why is it that with the pit and the tree, you said you have to pay for the tree because trees are important. But when it comes to the city and the tree, we're not making them pay. So first we give Rav Kahana's answer. Amar Rav Kahana de Beishut ve'lo chamima ve'lo kariru. Rav Kahana says, because the pot that is owned by partners is neither hot nor cold, meaning no one is actually going to pay for it, and the tree is just going to stay there. That's the that's our first answer, and that's where Rashi makes his comment, which I brought you in Tezayim, but we've already seen, because it was quoted earlier. He says, that's not nice for Eretz Yisrael, it's bad for the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, the tree won't be cut down in the end. Tosfos quotes the Re, saying, well, not so fast. He says, we cut before paying. Right? We're gonna cut down the tree before paying. So what do you mean they won't end up cutting down the tree? They'll cut down the tree and then it won't get paid. So therefore, Tosfos, quoting the Re, gives us a different approach. If you take a look at Source Yud Zayin, Ba'omer Re, the Hachi Perusho, the Mishum Kidra de Beishut Filo Chaim of Lokarira, Lo Ratzu Litakein Sheyitnu Damim, the Afa Gav de Kotzeitz Tchila, granted you cut the tree down first, Pa'amim Shalo Yishma Lahem Lokotz Tchila, the owner of the tree is not gonna be willing to cut it first, Imlo Yeda Miyitein Lo Hadamim, unless he knows who's gonna pay him. And none of them are going to actually cut it down, right? Because they don't want to be on the hook to pay. Which, by the way, this Tosa supports the idea that the person who's cutting it is not necessarily the owner of the tree, right? Remember I said to you that the Mishnah's language sounded like it's the owner of the tree who's cutting it, and some of the Gemara will sound like that as well, but Tosos here is saying, no, anybody can cut it. He says, that's the whole point, is no one's going to cut it because they're going to say, I don't want to be on the hook to pay for it, right? Complete side note, what's the origin of the statement of Kedra Debe Shutfich Lochamer Velo Karira, the idea that the partner's pot is neither hot nor cold? What, halacha? Practical halacha. Practical halacha in this building, probably. Mezuzahs on communal buildings, mezuzahs on the gates of the city. How often do you have to check it, right? We say the mezuzah on the gates of the city, maybe not true for a communal building, but mezuzah on the gates of the city, I think it's once in 50 years. Why? Because if you did it more often, no one would ever do it. I'm not so sure why that means they'll do it once every 50 years either, but nonetheless, psychology. The point for our purposes is, Rav Kahana says, the community isn't going to take care of paying for it, so just forget it. Don't require payment. To which the Gemara then says, what? Umay kusha? Why did you even have this question? Dilma sha'ani hazeka de rabbi me hazeka de yachid. Why don't you just say, there's a big difference between the pit case and the city case, right? Where the tree is next to the pit, it's one versus one. You want me to pull out my tree? Pay me for it. Whereas in the city case, this guy's harming the entire city. Granted, his tree was there first. No, I'm sorry. This case where the tree was not there first. I take that back. This is the case where the tree was not there first. That's exactly the point. You're harming my city. Why? You have a chutzpah to demand payment for it. It's your own fault. You planted a tree right outside my city. That was inappropriate. That's the Gemara's answer. Damashani hazeket the rabbi hazeket the yachid. The answer is, you started up with the wrong target. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right. That's not where Rav Kahana made his statement. That's not about the partner-owned pot. Eliyimar to Rav Kahana is Seifa Yimar. Rav Kahana's statement is on the Seifa. Ima Ilan Kadam Kotseitz Venosin Damim. We say if the tree was there first, you cut down the tree and then pay. So there is a payment, it's just after cutting it down. Velema Lahu Havali Beresha Dami Vahadir Ekots, and we ask, why can't he demand payment first? After all, his tree was there legitimately. His tree was there before the city was there. And that's where Rav Kahana kicks in, and he says, because then they'll never end up cutting down the tree. That's the idea. So that's the beginning of sugya number two. When it comes to paying for the tree, we make the statement that if the tree was there before the city, we are going to pay. However, we're not going to pay first. That we're not going to do because they'll never end up paying, and therefore it will never end up being cut down. Clear? Got it? It's a little slow, but I had a sense that Hachana this week was a little slow also, so I want to make sure that everybody got the sugya. The second piece of this is the Gemara that you see in Yutes. Why did I put the Rimagash first? I don't know. I wanted it second. So if you take a look at, no, I'm sorry, I do realize why. The Rimagash is commenting on this. When we say that it's a communal issue and no one is going to take care of paying it, so the Rimagash says the following. Amar Rav Kahana, in Source Yuches, if he doesn't cut it down until people pay, they're going to be slow about it because they don't want to pay. And the owner of the tree is going to be silent. He's not going to ask anything. He wants them to be slow. And they don't pay. So that he won't have to cut down the tree. And then the result is you lose the noy of the city. And the reason I mention the Rimagash is because he seems to be of the view that it's the owner who is supposed to cut it, and not the people.
But isn't that, we just said that's their motivation, so the city would be beautiful.
Right, and apparently that's not enough motivation to make them pay money. People want a beautiful city, they just don't want to pay for it.
Then maybe it's not enough of Nezek.
Well, if you take the view that this is about Nezek and not about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael or something bigger, that's correct. I'm assuming Idan is close enough to me, he's sitting right here, that people online are able to hear the back and forth with Idan. But basically what Idan is pointing out is that if the people are going to be slow to pay, so let them also not have a beautiful city. Like, if you want it, then pay for it. But I think the response is, number one, taking the view that we mentioned earlier, if this is about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, we don't want to leave it up to them. But also, I think people aren't necessarily willing to pay when they know someone's going to have to pay, so let it just not be me. That's their expectation, is that somebody's going to take care of it. But again, I brought the Rimagash just because he seems to be saying it's the owner of the tree who's doing the cutting, and it's the city being slow about paying. I think you could force a different read into the Rimagash, but I think that is the way to read it. Conclusion of the Gemara. Cutting in a case of uncertainty. So, source yates. What if you don't know which was first, the tree or the city? No one remembers. So now what do you do? The answer is cut it down and don't pay. So the Gemara asked, with a pit, we didn't say that, when it was a pit and a tree. When it came to the boar, we said, don't cut down the tree at all, if you don't know which was first. Which the Gemara gives the obvious answer. The answer is, because with the boar, if you know that the tree was before the boar, then you don't cut it down at all. So therefore, if you're not sure, the owner of the tree has a right to say to the owner of the boar, prove that your boar was first, and then I'm going to and then I'll cut down my tree. Ha'acha, but here it's going to get cut down anyway. Devade lemekatz koi sveikonami amirin leikotz. Here it's going to be cut down either way. It doesn't matter. So of course you tell him to cut it. And then be'imi shum dami, and as far as payment, amirin le, I see rayu shkol. So prove that you have a right to the money, and by all means. That's the conclusion in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Meir in the Tosfos Arash in the Shita Mekubetzes says, brought in the Shita Mekubetzes, says, don't say Hezekah derabim here. Because regarding bor, we say Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya, so you should default to Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya here as part of the question, just like we do regarding bor. That's why this is a question in the first place. But bottom line is, that last piece I just brought for the completeness of the sugya. But the bottom line out of this is, it sounds like within Ramban's read, sugya 1 and sugya 2 are all on the same page. The issue is noi. It applies specifically in Israel. We are concerned about Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we don't pay before cutting. Right? Simple, straightforward. You can have machlokas about who's doing the cutting, but everything else is wrapped up in a bow. And if I learned this with Ramban and never read anything else, I'd be fine. However, we have sources that say, no, our concern for Noi is actually outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. The Yad Ramah and the Chasam Sofer argue that our Mishnah and Ula apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. The difference between the Yad Ramah and the Chasam Sofer is that the Yad Ramah believes that the law of Migrash also applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, which the Chasam Sofer does not. So the Chasam Sofer's reason is going to be Nezek. So I'm going to take them in parts. So within this view, our Gemara's initial challenge is being made to Ula, not to the Mishnah. And this is the way that the Yad Ramah reads it. If you take a look at source Chaf, we see from here, from the Gemara, that the law of our Mishnah, I'm sorry, that the law of Migrash is even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Migrash is outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why? The Isan Kadaitach Tavka Be'eretz Yisrael Ava B'chutzala Aretz Lo. Because if you take the view that it's only in Israel and not outside, then why didn't the Gemara give the answer to the question of why not have Migrash rules and just say one is in Israel, one's outside of Israel, right? The Gemara asked the question. If it's about Noi, right? You're telling me it's about Noi. What about Migrash? Migrash should give you a 1,000 Amma distance for your trees. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give, they're in the small baby drash, the fact that the Gemara does not give the answer of Kan Beretz Yisrael, Kan B'chutzla Aretz, tells me that clearly, well here, he says, my duchke la'ok me memre of the ula la'aliba de Rabbi Elazar l'chudei, lo'ok me b'chutzla Aretz, v'divri ha'kov, alei ma'achi, why didn't you just say, it's our Mishnah's talking about chutzla Aretz, everybody is in agreement to our Mishnah, and say, Hani Mili Beretz Yisrael, Migrash is only in Israel. Ava b'chutz laretz osin, v'ach mishmoye ha'ir lo. He says, say that outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's no obligation for a Migrash, and here the issue is only beauty, right? And that's why it's only 25 amos. In other words, I could understand the din de oraisa of Migrash based on our Gemara. The fact that our Gemara does not jump on the Mishnah and say, the Mishnah is only in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah is only in Chutz La'aretz, tells me that Migrash applies even in Chutz La'aretz.
Do you find any other Mishnah, because the Lishnah of the Mishnah is very much the same like any other Mishnah that we have there. Do we have any, we looked at it, we didn't see, any other Mishnah that is only specifically in Eretz Yisrael? It's very difficult to say that this specific Mishnah, without saying it explicit in the Mishnah itself, applies only to Eretz Yisrael, when it is in the same Mishnah, and it's right in the middle between different other Mishnayot that are not only in there.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. Most Mishnayot that I can think of offhand that are Israel-specific will say so. So we talk about being Megadol Behemadaka, it says Beretz Yisrael. We talk about the Mishnah as the first paragraph in Kiddushin, about all the mitzvot that are in Eretz Yisrael. We say so in the Mishnah.
It's a huge Amorite Kiddush to say that this Mishnah is only applies in Eretz Yisrael without the Tanaim saying it applies in Eretz Yisrael.
I mean, we'd really need to stop and think for real. Like, meaning we're doing this off the top of our heads, except, I mean, you did it in Seder, but I did not think this through beforehand, so I would not be, like, pretending to be definitive here. But it's true that the ones that come to mind in Zraim, the ones that come to mind, you know, in communal ones that apply in Eretz Yisrael, offhand, yes, they say when they're Eretz Yisrael. It's an interesting point. I don't
know. Well, you brought from Kiddushin, the Kiddushin.
They're very explicit about which ones. I mean, that's their point.
Yeah, I mean, they say that they're mitzvot to tov ha'aretz.
Yes. But that's exactly the point.
That's the purpose of the mission.
Yes, in Echanami. I feel like he's right. The ones I'm thinking of, which, again, is not exhaustive, but I'm thinking of the Taharos ones, right, where we distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Ha'amim. Like, we always say so.
If so, I would then ask, I would add just a question without having an answer for it. Maybe someone would have. What is the motivation of this changing by the Amorim? Why do they want to make, according to the Rishonim, who understand it as it's something that is only place to Israel, why
well,
would Amorim really want to make...
It's not, right? This is your question is within the Yad Ramah's question.
Yeah.
In other words, if the Yad Ramah is right, that this is proof that the Migrash is, in fact, everywhere, then I want the Yad Ramah to show me another Mishnah in which it's actually giving me a halacha that is only in Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't bother to say that it's only in Eretz Yisrael. Your question is within the sheet of the Yad Ramah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know you're going to want to defend the Ramban altogether. but that's the Yad Ramah's argument, and Idan's objection is duly noted. So that's the Yad Ramah's argument that Migrash is actually everywhere. Similarly, so the Yad Ramah's point, I mean, his conclusion, let's be clear, is that Noi, like Migrash, is actually everywhere. That's his ultimate conclusion. The Chasim Sofer's read is also that it's everywhere, just minus exporting Migrash. If you take a look at Source Chaf Aleph, he says, Mikomakam Yesh Lepakpeik. He says, we could challenge. Al Koponim, Mait Sarach Lomar, Mishum De Beishutbe. Why did you need to talk about partners and a tree and all that? When you're giving your, oh, you know what? This is a different Chasim Sofer. Sorry. This is on the next piece. But the Chasim Sofer's read is the same as the Yad Ramah's read. He says, you say that the issue is Noi, which applies everywhere, then why didn't the Mishnah say, in Israel it's 1,000 Amos, and outside of Israel it's 25 or 50 Amos? That's his challenge, same as the Yad Ramah's challenge. So the position of the Yad Ramah is Migrash is everywhere, our Mishnah is everywhere. The position of Chasim Sofer is Noi is everywhere, our Mishnah should be everywhere. The Chasim Sofer supports this view within Rav Kahana. In the second sugya, when we brought in Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana's answer for why we don't pay first was because of Kidra de Beishutfi, right? The business about the partners not actually taking care of it. So the Chasim Sofer says, if it's only in Eretz Yisrael, and it's about Eretz Yisrael, then we just want to rush to get rid of the Isser. It's not about Kidra de Beishutfi. You're telling me the reason why we say cut before you pay is because they won't pay? No, the reason to say cut before you pay is because you want to cut it as soon as possible to preserve the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. That should have been your answer. Take a look at Source Chaval. He says, what is this business with Rav Kahana telling me about partners? Lema sha'ani isura mimamona. The reason why this isn't the same as a pit and a tree is because the pit and tree issue is a financial issue. The city and tree issue is about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. It's an Isser issue. Hasam b'bor hesed b'monahu al kenitin dam t'chila. The bor case, that's financial. It's all right to pay first. Aval hacha isura hu laganos Eretz Yisrael v'yishuv shalah. There's an Isser against degrading the beauty of Eretz Yisrael and its settlement. Al ken ein la'acher ha-mitzvah. Don't delay the mitzvah. Val kopanim yakotz t'chila v'lo le'avid isura filu sha'achas. You should cut it down first. Don't let this tree stand a moment longer. And he says, therefore, I think that the Yad Ramah is right, not like the Ramban. The answer is, like the Yad Ramah, beauty is a thing outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. So that's the position of the Yad Ramah, that's the position of the Chasim Sofer. This should apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. In fact, the Rambam may require preserving the quality of land outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. The Rambam may be an environmentalist. First of all, worth noting, the Rambam brought our halacha about trees in cities in Hilchos Shechinim, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph. That's where the Rambam brings that halacha. Hilchos Shechinim is not Eretz Yisrael specific. It's about communities everywhere. Even when he uses the term Yishuv Haaretz, it's about communities everywhere. The Or Sameach makes this point. If you take a look at Source Chav Beis, the Rambam has a separate halacha. And the halacha is, Shotaf Nara Zeisa Vushasalam Besoch Sadeh Chavero. You have an olive tree orchard. River comes along, floods the orchard, sweeps away the trees, and they take root in somebody else's field. It's a neat trick. So that's what happened. The Amar Halah, Zeisi Ani Notel, the original owner of the trees, comes to the guy who now has the trees, and he says, I'm taking my trees back. Ein Shomelo, we do not listen to him. Why? Mishum Yishuv Haaretz, for the sake of the settlement of the land. Elayamdu Bimakoman, the trees go where they go. And then there's a discussion about who pays for the trees and all of that. But that's the rule. You do not uproot the trees from the place where they are currently sitting. So the Or Sameach comments on that and says this applies in Chutz La'aretz also. Source Chav Gimel. Nirad Rabbeinu Mefarish Delav Davka Beretz Yisrael. V'hu Hadin B'Chutz La'aretz B'Makom She'Yisrael Metzuyin. He says this also applies to Jewish communities outside of Eretz Yisrael, and he brings you proof from the Rambam and Hilchos Gezela, which is based on a Gemara Bava Metzia Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara Bava Metzia talks about a different case. Shua has a field. I come into Shua's field. I plant trees. Okay? You can thank me later. I plant trees in his field without his permission. Then I say, I'd like my trees. Right? I incubated the trees in your field. And now I'm going to take them back. And the halacha is that I'm not allowed to do that. If you take a look, he says, "V'hada Amar Gabay Hanotea Sadeh Shelo Birshus." I planted trees in a field without permission. Dimishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That we say I'm not allowed to uproot the trees because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Eino b'chutz la'aretz. That does not apply in chutz la'aretz. That's specifically a Eretz Yisrael. He says, Ulaizeh, it could be that exclusion of Chutz La'aretz is because Davka b'makom she'ein Yisrael mitzuyin. That could really mean Eretz Yisrael and places where there are Jews in Chutz La'aretz. But Yishuv Haaretz actually does include Chutz La'aretz. It's Yishuv Haaretz in Chutz La'aretz where there are Jews. And he brings you proof, you can bring proof to that from Hilchos Shechinim and Perek Yedad Halacha Aleph, where we prioritize housing over fields for Yishuv Haaretz in Chutz La'aretz. That's a side note. But if you continue in the if you continue in the Or Sameach, he says, "V'zeh ein lomer the kavanas Rabbeinu b'Eretz Yisrael davka v'nichlal zeh b'hashakasa mishum Yishuv Haaretz v'stamo b'Eretz Yisrael zeh eino." Oh, you know what? That's what I just told you. It was from there. Okay, that's the business about prioritizing the trees. My point is, and I'm going to skip reading that out loud then. His first answer is, that might only be where there are no Jews in Chutz La'aretz. But Yishuv Haaretz includes areas in Chutz La'aretz where Jews live. That's number one. Number two, his alternate approach is, like the Ramach brought in the Shita Mekubetzes, which you have here in the Or Sameach as well, in which he says that there is Yishuv Haaretz in Chutz La'aretz, as long as Jews don't control Eretz Yisrael. It only has an issue that's Eretz Yisrael specific once Jews control Eretz Yisrael. That's his position. My point in bringing it is to say, the Or Sameach believes, when the Rambam says Yishuv Haaretz, as a general rule, it does not only mean Eretz Yisrael, at least until Jews control Eretz Yisrael. That's his, that's the idea. Which sounds to me, once you say that Yishuv Haaretz is a thing in Chutz La'aretz as well, right, there are two ways you can interpret that. Either it's a Shechinim statement, don't ruin your communities because people live there, or the alternative, it's an environmentalist statement. We believe in the value of the land elsewhere, at least until we have Eretz Yisrael, and then Ramban's idea kicks in, let everywhere else be negative in order to promote Eretz Yisrael. There's also a Bedek HaBayis, similarly, that's brought in the Beis Yosef. I brought it for you in Source Chaf Dalet. I'm not going to go into it right now, but he basically says, the Bedek HaBayis says, these rules about beautifying Eretz Yisrael don't apply until we actually have it.
The question would be then, can if it doesn't apply, let's say, in our times, can someone still plant a tree that he knows that in Bezrat Hashem, as soon as possible, he will need to unroot it? That's also that there might be a problem. Don't plant the tree, because Bezrat Hashem, God willing, very soon, it will apply, then you'll need to unroot the tree. Mm-hmm. And that's another problem to do. So maybe we'll say, don't plant trees at all.
Idan says we shouldn't plant trees because we will need to uproot them.
To uproot them.
Give me a time frame for how long I need
the
to benefit from it.
The moment it's going to be Shuvah Eretz Yisrael, Bezman Hazeh, it's not going to be Degoyim anymore. God willing, we'll have our own government, we'll have our own state. And then we'll not be
so
able to...
So this is an interesting gezeira. Don't plant trees in Chutzal La'aretz because...
You will need to...
Meheri Yibaneh. And at that point, you will have beautified Chutzal La'aretz and encouraged Jews to live there.
And also applies in Israel. Now maybe you can put the trees because there's no issue of Eretz Yisrael, so there's no problem.
An interesting idea.
Here, but
I'm only going to say it's an interesting idea. Okay. So to gather these views together... Gathering the views together, because I just looked at the clock and realized that we're in trouble. So what we have is this. You could argue it's environmentalism, which is what the Rambam looked like. You could argue it's a Shechinim issue. But the Chasam Sofer offers a novel approach within Ula. The Chasam Sofer says, I don't know how I'm going to do this. All right. But the Chasam Sofer says in Source Chaf Hey, actually, I think there's another issue, which is you want to keep Jews in Chutz La'aretz. Take a look at Source Chafei. Amar Ula Mishum Noi. He gives you the Ramban first. Shekazati le'el dechutz la'aretz tinvo v'tinvo. Perish v'alava yazvu yoshveh v'yishyashvu v'eretz Yisrael. Amnam ikaman da'amar shelek suvos ta'asir lotzes mi'bavel. He says you have a gemara at the end of Ksuvos with a point of view that says you're not allowed to leave Bavel. Umishum makom shekovim yeshivas b'chutz la'aretz asir la'alos misham l'eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to go from where you live in the communities in chutz la'aretz l'eretz Yisrael. V'chein pasak ha-rambam. It's an explicit rambam in Hilchos Malachim, perek ha-halacha yud-beis. So he says within that view, it's a whole different story. So when Ula says that you should beautify, right, these cities, he says Ula is only in Eretz Yisrael. Because Ula believes, like the Gemara at the end of Ksuvos, says it's a mitzvah of Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, right? When Ula dies outside of Eretz Yisrael, they say, how can it be that Ula died outside of Eretz Yisrael? Ula always wants to be in Eretz Yisrael. So Ula believes we should all be going there. So therefore he says, beautify in Eretz Yisrael. However, within our view, he says, that no, you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. So in that case, it should apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. That's the Chasam Sofer's idea, the opposite of that Ramban. Ramban says tinvol v'tinvol, and the Chasam Sofer says chas v'shalom. That was, I thought, a very interesting note that I wanted to make sure to get to. Okay, but there's one more view here of what causes this distancing of trees, and that's what I mentioned before from the Chasam Sofer. The issue is nezek. I'm going to say it outside because it's already 11:28. He says, Ula says the issue is noi. The Gemara asks Ula, or asks our Mishnah, why don't we pay for the tree even if the city was there first? Right? Why are we not paying for the tree for Yishuv Ha'olam? And Rav Kahana answers, because people are not going to pay, and it's about the partnership of everybody who lives in the city losing the value of their properties. To which they then ask, but why not just say it's Hezekah Derabin? Right? The Gemara asks, why not just say it's public harm? And he says, that could fit Ula's view, because harm to an individual's property is harm to all Jews, right, in Eretz Yisrael. But, according to Rav Kahana, it's Chutz La'aretz. And it's specifically where there are partners. It's specifically Kidra de Beis Shutvi where this is an issue. So that Rav Kahana's statement is, this is a Nezek problem. Why is it that we don't make them pay before cutting where the tree was... Sorry, I'm rushing it. All right, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this properly as an added recording rather than race through it, because I feel like even I don't understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to do an added recording, Belina, there, and send out a link. I don't know if it'll be today, Sunday, something like that, but I don't want to race through it. The Chasam Sofer is going to end up saying that the issue here is actually a nezek problem for the community, and that's what causes us to uproot it. I'll give you the punchline is The nezek that's involved, according to Chasam Sofer, is depreciation of people's properties. The fact that the price for their properties is going to go down is the problem that you are causing, and I think you can support it from a, from Psak by Rebel Yashiv. So, I'm gonna, come to that, God willing, in a recording, and Blineder will send out a link for it. Okay? Shkayach.
Thank you.